And the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. Who here remembers the fabulous 1986 movie Labyrinth with the immortal David Bowie as the Goblin King? Yes, Elizabeth, thank you. It's going to be a tough sermon for the rest of you. Okay. So the premise was that an angry teen wishes that the goblins would take away her younger brother, Toby. And with a crack of lightning, it happens. The goblins are all waiting, like hiding in the cupboard, and they're all puppets, which just makes it even more fabulous. There are some shenanigans that involve David Bowie in spandex, and that's not something you will forget, and a cast of these goblin puppets with songs and just incredible sets, especially when you think about the time that it was. But at a very early point in the movie, as Jennifer Connelly's character first enters the labyrinth, she begins to get disorientated, and so very sensibly starts drawing arrows on the stones to re-enable herself to be able to find her way back. However, the goblins appear with sort of giggles, pushing up each stone from either behind or underneath, and either turning it over so that it vanishes or switching the arrow so it goes in different directions. So she is no longer able to find her way back, and she finds herself just looking in all different directions. So she gets pushed this way and that, and although lost at certain points in the story, she doesn't give up her search for the baby Toby, who must have been a very traumatized adult because literally is screaming in almost every scene that he appears in. So the labyrinth is a lot like the Bible sometimes when we read it, but the Bible also contains signposts that may seem to point in more than one direction. Sometimes they are sayings or words like, woe to you, which means stop and look, something important is happening. Or when Jesus labors a sentence by saying, very truly I tell you, it's like, hey you, pay attention. Sometimes there are the words of prophets pointing us forwards to what God will do, while at the same time pointing us backwards to what God has done. So today, we find ourselves with these types of scriptures. While we look towards Advent, both the scripture from Isaiah and from Mark's gospel call us to look forwards and backward in the journey with God. Like Sarah in the labyrinth after falling into a tunnel of talking hands, can't make this stuff up, we are wondering which way to go. I spent 2 hours watching this as part of my sermon prep, and I'm going to give it as homework as well, okay? So Isaiah points ahead to the kingdom of God, points to comfort for a people who at the time were stranded in exile after being conquered and taken off their land. They probably did feel like withered grass after everything they'd been through. Entire generations had died and been born. They were desperate, desperate for God to intervene. And the prophet says, God will intervene with the mighty arms of a warrior, but gently, not to slay them or their enemies, but to scoop them up as though they are lambs, a motif that we hear in Mark in chapter 6 when Jesus expresses compassion for the crowd that had been following him because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Look forward, look back. God's work in heaven and on earth is inescapable. And God makes a point of stating, Jerusalem has served her term. The sin is acknowledged and forgiven. Prepare the way of the Lord. In other words, put down your sins. Get rid of that which burdens you. Allow yourself to be forgiven. We are encouraged to acknowledge our wrongdoings and know that we are loved and indeed forgiven. I found myself wondering what would it be like for us to practice this kind of radical forgiveness, all of us all the time, not just us here, but everybody, so that mountains, that is, obstacles to relationships with God, were brought low and valleys were lifted up so that people were no longer trapped in dark places. a level playing field for all, a clean slate, an easy road to God and for God's message to be carried forward. Can you imagine what that would look like? Now, while that's a rhetorical question, I know that you can, because we see this in our daily lives. We see the places where the path has been made straight. Mark, on the other hand, points forward to the one who is to come as John the Baptist appears in the wilderness, and we hear again, prepare the way of the Lord. But that points us back to the prophets, because we've just heard it in Isaiah, and even to 2 Kings with the description of John's garments that match those of the prophet Elijah. Like the first hearers of Mark, we are meant to recognize John as Elijah returned, and hear the mishmash of pieces of Isaiah and other prophets like Malachi, Amos, Hosea. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you to prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness. And while Isaiah asked the Lord, what should I cry? John, no surprise here, knows exactly what to say, calling the people to repentance and baptism and bringing the good news that is coming, that there is one who will baptize them with fire, which points ahead to the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus's death and resurrection. But also backwards to the birth of Jesus that we're looking forward to at the end of the month. In fact, only 14 days. Our heads are left spinning. It's like watching a Wimbledon final. Look this way, look that way, back and forth. What does it mean in Advent to anticipate Christmas and the coming of God among us in human flesh? Does it make sense to be looking in all these directions on the journey to Christmas? Certainly for God, it does, because God is and was and is to come. When you're bigger than time, you're not actually pointing forwards or backwards, you're just pointing. And so we are directed in all of these ways to consider all of these things. Now Mark wrote, this is the beginning of the good news, and it begins with the prophets. He's pointing back. So it's not really a beginning, because they've already been and gone. Instead, what we're seeing and what we're hearing is a part of this larger story of God. This is what Advent is. Think about it. We started with lessons and carols, and we're exploring this much bigger story with God. And then, if you've read the whole of Mark, which I know you all have, after I encouraged it last week, you get to the end, and there are two separate endings, right? There's that shorter ending and a longer ending. But it doesn't matter which one you choose. They're not actually endings. They're transitions into what happens next, where Jesus' disciples, after his ascension, go on to Jerusalem to wait for that fiery morning of Pentecost. So we see again this one story, not just this separate standalone thing. The Holy Spirit appearing on Pentecost in fire is still present now and will come upon the bread and the wine at the altar today, when we celebrate the Eucharist, the great Thanksgiving. In short, the kingdom of God is here, it is now, it is then, it is before, it is after, it is inescapable, and we all have a part in it. During these short weeks of Advent, we can prepare by asking ourselves, as we do every week in our liturgy, with our confession. And some people get very nervous or defensive around confession, but I suggest perhaps a slight change in your thinking if this sounds like you. We can stand in front of God with confidence and confess what we need to get off our chest because of who Jesus is and what Jesus did and what Jesus is doing in each of us. Our sins are forgiven. This is what happened on the cross. That is God's peace on earth, offered to you and me in a radical forgiveness that says the price has been paid in full. The valleys have been lifted up, the mountains have been made low. You are free to be God's people and offer God's peace to each other. This is where the epistle today says to us, this is what has happened. This is what your role is to be. You now have a flat, easy road to God to walk, and it's easy to be patient because you're forgiven. All you have to do is be God's people. So, let us then use this time to prepare the way of the Lord in our own hearts by getting rid of the things that we just don't need to carry. So we can give thanks again for what Jesus did and is doing and will do for us as we journey forward with this message of peace in this time and town and place. Amen.